Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
The House and Senate are getting ready to take a vote on the National Energy Bill that was agreed to this last week. With gasoline prices settling in at record prices, and no whisper that they will ever again recede much below these levels, many Americans held the belief that once passed, this National Energy Bill would address things like our high oil, gas, and heating oil prices, and of course, our dependence on Middle East sources of oil. When we return, we head on out to Washington, D.C., and talk with the new director of the Apollo Alliance about the National Energy Bill. It's a good thing to know what Apollo is saying, because a lot of people are listening and signing up. We hear that and more when we return with your Voice of the Earth here on the Wildside News. It's just about done, our new national energy bill, the long-awaited dream come true of the Bush administration to once and for all get us on the right track towards real energy independence. Now joining us from Washington, D.C. is Jeff Rickert. And Jeff, you're with the Apollo Alliance. You're newly kind of taking over the helms of the Apollo Alliance. Tell us what your new position is.
I'm the interim executive director of Apollo Alliance.
What I'd like to really focus on today is the new energy bill that's about, it's probably going to be passed Friday or something like that by the House and the Senate, and your thoughts, particularly as it relates to the dream and mission of the Apollo Alliance.
Well, we really see this as a failure of leadership on the part of Congress to come up with, to set a federal energy policy that would give us some relief from the skyrocketing gas prices, give us some protection or, you know, sense of security by weaning us off our dependence on foreign oil. And, it, you know, just a lost opportunity to create a real program that could accomplish both of those things while, you know, revitalizing our economy and creating millions of new jobs here in the U.S.
For people who may not be familiar with the Apollo Alliance, why don't you tell us what your real mission has been in the past, and then also I'm curious how you're facing the new realities today.
The Apollo Alliance is a coalition of labor unions, environmentalists, civil rights groups, and business dedicated to driving a bold federal investment into achieving sustainable energy independence in a way that will create millions of new jobs in the United States. It's named Apollo, harkening back to President Kennedy's commitment to put him, you know, when he rallied the country to commit to putting a man on the moon in less than a generation.
And you have an extraordinary coalition of people that have come together to try to move this forward, because I know that every time that I mention the concept of the Apollo Alliance, people get it, which I thought was one of the brilliant strokes of the Apollo Alliance. Almost everybody wants what you guys want. But somehow this vision keeps, it's there and it's growing, but somehow our leadership is failing us so totally. I couldn't agree with you more. What's bringing this about?
What makes this so shocking on the part of Congress to pass up this opportunity is the broad support publicly. I mean, a recent Yale poll said that 92% of Americans consider energy independence to be a serious issue. I think, you know, certainly prices at the pump impact people's perspective on this, and certainly against the backdrop of a war that, you know, we hear about every single day. Against, you know, the other backdrop of an economy that's stopped creating jobs for working people. And so, you know, when you can combine all of these things really into one program, it really resonates with people. Not to mention, you know, the growing concern over global warming and climate risk.
One of the things that shocked me about the new energy bill is the way in which nuclear seems to be the new fat cat or pretty boy or something in between. What are your thoughts on that?
I found it interesting that it's come back so rapidly as a issue in this round of the energy bill. we, you know, Apollo doesn't really take a position on nuclear one way or another. Though clearly, we could only possibly support nuclear if they found out, you know, figured out ways for dealing with waste and ensuring that they run safely. A number of the national security folks that are advocating for this do so because they see it as a way to get us off foreign oil by figuring out new ways to power cars through plug-in hybrids, fuel cells, et cetera, and feel like that's the only way to get to scale, to get to the scale of electricity generation that it would take to power that transition.
It still maintains a centralized power network and,
right,
and control in one place, and the distribution, as always, and that to me is going in the wrong direction.
Right, and I think that you could achieve the same bang for your buck by bringing to scale renewable energy and like wind farms and solar.
Well, just for example, one of the elements of the new energy bill spends $1.3 billion for an experimental Idaho reactor that would also produce hydrogen fuel, and fair enough, that's okay, but $1.3 billion put directly into solar,
right,
or other alternative forms would really start moving this forward, and you know, from my reading of this, that doesn't exist in this current energy bill.
Right, that's precisely right.
That's what bothers me, and it has to do with the way in which the priorities, once again, huge chunks of money, limited money that we're all trying to figure out how in the world we're going to pay for these things, are ending up being spent on such things as nuclear and tax relief for oil and gas, and that's the frustrating thing. Fair enough, they can have that, but I do believe that we need to power up. I'm speaking now my my message here, but I just can't. I'm actually almost depressed about it. I had expected and hoped for so much more, and quite honestly, as far as I can see, this is doing nothing to bring about very little to bring about energy independence anywhere in the near future.
Yeah, it's tragic, really. I mean, especially a time when the country faces such profound challenges, and you're debating what is the federal program on energy, and to have that come out in the wash. You know, the Senate. There were interesting changes in the debate in the Senate bill, but even though that modest, extraordinarily modest progress got washed out in the final conference bill, which is just amazing.
Well, so now where does this put the Apollo Alliance? Because obviously the leadership is absolutely not coming, and I have to fault both sides. I'm talking about the House and the Senate, the Democrats and the Republicans, for somehow dropping this ball so incredibly. And just on my, from my own perspective, I'm really tired of this. I really feel kind of personally affected by the fact that our leadership is literally putting my future at stake because they're not willing to truly lead. And these are my friends and others who just aren't doing the job. So where do we go from here? How do we deal with this?
Right. Well, I think there are those who are willing to lead and have started to. You know, obviously we don't see that leadership coming at the federal level right now, but clearly in the states and cities across the country, things are already begun to change. And governors are stepping up across the country in both parties to develop renewables and industries to, you know, support efficiency programs, pass green building codes that ensure that all new public buildings will be built to a certain standard that will be improve energy efficiency, but also have all sorts of other great environmental impacts.
How are these progressive, and progressive meaning both, as you say, both on the Republican and the Democratic sides, because they're truly progressive in terms of bringing about the change that we must have to get past these times and to develop into a sustainable world somehow and nation. Talk to me about how are they working together? How are they formulating an effective alliance that can pool their resources and their wills and vision to start to creating a critical mass to move us forward?
Well, clearly, there have been a number of regional state compacts to figure out this problem and how do you make a uniform system across states on the same policy platforms. Building the same industries, and clearly the front runner in this is the Western Governors Association, who passed a clean energy program, who endorsed a clean energy program last year, spearheaded by Governor Bill Richardson of New Mexico and Arnold Schwarzenegger of California, which is an odd pairing, but both seeing the pressing pressing demands for new energy solutions. Now, if you look within the states, you know, coalitions of environmentalists, labor unions, urban activists have come together to pass legislation along the same lines of each other. And I think, you know, we've seen some small progress this year, and I expect to see a lot more next year on this. Washington State activists there were able to work out a compromise on a green building code that was going to be opposed by labor. And then working together and working with the state legislature, they were able to come up with a compromise that took out one aspect of the bill that labor thought was going to cost them jobs around the certification of the forests that produce, that supply the wood for public buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at another time, that compromise might not have been possible. But as the situation becomes more pressing, I think it's not even looking at the negative part about it. It's like you can see the challenge, but then in seeing that challenge, you also see the opportunity. I think everyone has come around to saying, you know, it just makes sense to invest in new energy infrastructure because you get jobs, affordable energy, a better environment, and a safer world.
It seems to me that kind of a part of the new paradigm for this type of mission is really to quit fighting and just start working and creating together, because we expend too much energy sometimes, too much of our resources in trying to counter, when in reality, if we were to pool our energies and spirit and money and just invest in our future, we could just do it, because that actually is a legal thing to do in America, to invest in a better future.
Right. And it's a safe investment, an investment that's virtually guaranteed to pay off in benefits, you know, beyond the bottom line.
Why don't you go ahead and give some of the numbers that you've, the Apollo Alliance likes to talk about in terms of what could happen to the American economy and jobs, really, if this became a mission, an American mission, which I hope someday it will. But if that were to happen, what would we really be looking at?
Yeah, you know, when we first started, we did a job modeling exercise based on a figure that investing $300 billion over the next 10 years in a new energy infrastructure, you know, a figure that is, you know, roughly the same as what we've spent in 2 years on the Iraq war. And with that, from that kind of investment, you would create 3 million new jobs, $1 trillion in new economic activity, and that new economic activity would easily pay back the initial investment.
And it would also keep us at pace with the rest of the world, which is moving so quickly ahead. I know I'm, for example, working on a solar system here in the United States that really has a terrific amount of promise. And the interest is coming from China and South Korea and Germany and other places like that. And it's difficult, unfortunately, to get the level of interest that we should here. We have to compete. And in order to do so, we just simply have to invest in our future. It is the way to go. I, like you, I couldn't believe, quite honestly, that we could, at this point in history, with so much pointing to the requirement that we really address energy independence, alternative forms of energy, removing our reliance from the Middle East for our oil, and just because this is an opportunity that we could so completely drop the ball and not, first of all, not do a thing to alleviate the extraordinary cost at the pump for a gallon of gas, but as well, really having no true vision or way to move forward to energy independence. But expand on that. I'd like to hear your thoughts on where this is at this point. And then also, what can people do?
You know, I think if the bill passes on Friday, which I suspect it will, we're going to be left with an energy bill that sets the federal policy for the next 10 years. And all that really means is that for the next 10 years, we're going to be putting together piecemeal legislation to address a problem that's only going to get worse on all fronts. And so it's, you know, a tragic opportunity. It's tragic that the opportunity we had was passed by, and now we're going to be playing catch-up for, you know, a while. It's not that we can't catch up, because I think that we can, but we've missed the opportunity for another year at least until we are able to go back to Congress and say, give us something real. You know, as far as what people can do, I think the thing that we're most focused on is getting our state legislation passed in the next year so that at least, you know, we're not standing still, we're making progress. And so identifying the places where we have opportunities to really push something, contacting legislators, contacting city council people, and spreading the message about the kind of energy plan we want will be very important now until we have this problem under hand.
We're talking with Jeff Rueckert with the Apollo Alliance. Jeff, here's another thought, too. Recently, another Nation magazine is really taking a strong stand for the Apollo Alliance. They recently wrote an article that said that 8 governors have signed on to the Apollo Alliance vision. Why don't you tell us who those governors are, and people in those states should contact their governors and support them, but it will give people an idea of the modeling that's beginning to develop at the state level.
Great. Actually, it was 7 governors. Governor Gregoire of Washington, Governor Kulongoski of Oregon, Governor Napolitano of Arizona, Governor Richardson of New Mexico, Governor Doyle of Wisconsin, Governor Blagojevich of Illinois, and Governor Schweitzer of Montana. And Governor Rendell and Governor Granholm last year also signed a letter of support with Governor Richardson in the fall. And on all of those states, we have, are places where we hope to have, innovative legislation moving forward next year.
Well, Jeff Rueckert, I want to thank you for giving your thoughts. And by the way, this, I'm sure as you know, the Wildside News is here to serve your mission, because it's my mission. And it's the mission of my friends and my family and everybody that I can think of for us to move forward. So anytime you wish, you're welcome to give voice here on the Wildside News.
Great. Thanks a lot, Sid.
Thanks, Jeff.
Let's take a well-deserved break from all this political stuff and reconnect with the real nature of nature. When we return, we talk with artist and birder and man about town, Rourke Griffin. When we head to Roe, New Mexico, population, maybe 100, where he lives and paints the wonders of his world, when your voice of the earth returns here on the Wild Side News.